pray that you have had a conversation with your God this week. We found, and as we expounded on last week, and we found out that there's one place that we don't want to go. Anybody remember? Just checking. Got to remember something from the message. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. If you have your Bibles this morning, we go, if you will, to the Gospel according to St. Luke, a very familiar parable, and we're going to work with it and see what the Lord God does this morning. The 15th chapter of St. Luke, beginning at verse 11, I read 11 through 18, and our supporting text this morning will be 1 Peter 2 and 25. The Bible reads, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. 1 Peter 2 and 25 that you've already heard in your hearing. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The base of those verses, we'd like to use a thought or subject this morning in the form of a question. What will it take for you to come to your senses? What will it take for you to come to your senses? We are just thankful to God for being that kind of God this morning. So as we come this morning, we are thankful that the Lord God has blessed us once and again. And it's not by any of our merits, by no means, but it's only because God is such a gracious and a loving God. And we realize and understand that it's not out of our goodness, it's just his will that we can say that I'm still here this morning. It is the will of God that we are able to know that the blood is yet still running warm in our veins. And it's because God is who he is that we can declare that every day is a day of thanksgiving. And I found out that there are times that when we don't even feel good, we still got something to thank the Lord for. When trouble is in the land, we got something to thank the Lord for. When it looks like there's no hope whatsoever, there's always something to give God thanks for. I wonder, is there anybody in here this morning that just realized how important it is for you to give your God praise? Hallelujah to the name of Jesus. If truth be told, we're only here by his grace and mercy, and that's the only reason that we were able to assemble ourselves together this morning. And as we come to praise the Lord and to worship him and to give him what is his due. Now, when we worship God, we worship him in many different ways, but one thing is that there's only one God. What I love about this God is that he's an understanding God. God can understand when you don't even know the right words or the proper words to say. God knows when you've gotten to a place where I really need you. I need something. But you ever found yourself scratching your head and feeling like something just ain't right and I can't put my finger on it? So when you get to that place, you begin to talk to God and say, God, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I need you to cover me now. I need you to watch over me. I need you to take care of that matter, because I may not know, but you already know what I got to go through. And I thank God that I serve a God that is all knowing, because if he hadn't known what we were going to do, then we wouldn't have a mind to just change our mind sometime and realize that we serve a God that is unchanging. We need to be mindful of the blessings that God has blessed us with. Just the mere fact that we are alive, and we ought to want to learn his word, learn to do his will. We need to know and understand that we belong to God, and that's a God that created the heavens and the earth. We belong to a God that has all power. We have a God that is a healer, a God that is a deliverer, a God that understands our human nature. And you know how it is, sometimes we like to use that as an excuse. Oh, I'm just human. Well, you are just human, but God made you just human, and it's God's breath that he breathed into your nostrils, and that's why you are a living soul this morning. But you got to understand, just in being human, you still got somebody. Because when you think about the fact that you were created in the image of a loving God, you ought to be thankful that you are human. Don't you know you could have been barking like a dog this morning? You could have been meowing like a cat, or sitting in a tree like a bird right now. But anybody glad that you're a man or a woman? Anybody glad that God decided that he's going to allow you to be created in his own image? Oh, yes, the birds are praising the Lord our God, tweet, tweet, right now. And there are those of us that don't want to open up our mouths, and those of us that don't want to lift up our arm. But if I had the wings of a dove, the Bible said I'd fly away. But you can't fly without wings or without the wind under your wings. So where's the wind going to come from? Don't you know that everything that you got, everything that you deal with, some way or another, you can put God in the equation? Because there are times when you like to think that I did it all by myself, because I'm responsible and I take care of my business. But let me tell you something. You got to understand that we all the children of the Most High God. Every one of us have done some right, and all of us have done some wrong. We've dotted some I's and we crossed some T's, but how many of you know we left some out? There's some folk we treated right, and there's some folk we need to go back and make amends. Everybody that say they love everybody, not telling the truth. Hello, somebody. Well, it sounds good to say it, but if you don't mean it, you just as well keep it to yourself. And I found out that you don't have to tell me you love me. I can tell you love me by the way you treat me. You see, I remember as a little boy, that was one of Doc's main things. If you love me like you say you do, why do you treat me the way that you do? Any old Powell's Chapel members in here remember that? Doc didn't play about that. He wanted to know that if you love me, then you ought to treat me like you say that you love me. And that goes for each and every one of us. If that individual on your pew, if you don't love them, you better learn to love them. So many times we have had to call on God the shepherd to comfort us and to guide us into the way that he would have us to go. Times when we needed the reassurance that God is still with us. Because as I said, we've all done some things wrong in our lives. And when we do things wrong, it tends to bother our conscience, and our conscience sometimes get the best of us. And when we're thinking about good things, that conscience reminds us of the bad that we've done. And if you're not careful, the enemy will make you get so caught up into the bad that you've done that you won't realize that God is a forgiving God. There is nothing that God will not forgive you for if you go to him sincerely in prayer, trusting and believing that he is your God. So I thank God for the reassurance of knowing that despite the mistakes that we made in life, despite the bad decisions that we made, we got to know that trouble and heartache comes to everybody. But when it comes, we got to know how to handle it. We got to know how to give it to the Lord our God. We got to know how to not take everything so personal, and then you can't be so thin-skinned. Everybody that look at you, that don't mean that they have something against you. Everybody that don't speak to you, they may not know that you are approachable. There are some folk that are not approachable. You carry yourself in a way that you are reserved and you don't like to be bothered. But then there are those folk that are still outgoing, and people like to be around those outgoing folk. But I found out that those people that you feel like they're unapproachable, they got something to share with you. You got to learn how to interact with people. And know that you don't know everything. Then you got to understand that in a conversation, when you're dealing and interacting with somebody, somebody got to listen, somebody got to talk. Then you need to learn how to take your turn. William, you be quiet for a minute and let me talk. Then I need to be quiet and let William talk. But there are times when we want to say everything, and before somebody else can get their opinion out, we done chopped it all the way up. Because how many of you know that sometimes we don't want to hear what somebody else got to say? We might be looking at them and act like we're listening. Oh, am I talking to anybody in here? There are many times we look at each other like we're listening, but we don't have a thought in our mind as to trying to receive what you're saying to us. A lot of time, depending upon the source, you dismiss it before they open up their mouth. That might be a good thing. And I won't even mess with that one. I move right along. Paul says that there is a law that when I will do good, evil is also present. So now, don't get bent out of shape when you feel like I'm doing the best that I know how to do. I've been over backwards for you, and it seems like every time I try to do something good for you, you mess it up. Every time it seems like things are falling into place, something goes haywire, and it seems like I'm right back at the drawing board. Is there anybody that ever tried something that seemed like it just would not work? And before you gave up, you said, I'm going to try it this way. Before you give up, you're going to try it another way. Don't allow the enemy to make you give up in despair and throw your hands up before you give it every effort to do the thing that God would have you to do. When we think about this law of evil being in the midst, you got to keep trusting that whatever you're going through, that God will allow you to go through. Don't allow your trials in life to discourage your journey. Don't allow the heartaches that you have to discourage you and put you in a place where you allow the wrong spirit to guide you. Don't you know that just because we know good and evil, we got to also understand that there's a good spirit and a bad spirit? Now, how many of you know that with your holy and sanctified self, that every now and again, that bad spirit rise up in you? Yeah, am I talking to anybody in here? Yeah, anybody in here ever realize that I love the Lord, but now you better watch yourself? Yeah, anybody ever found themselves saying that? Yeah, anybody realize that I love God and I know that God want me to love folk, but God didn't say that I got to allow you to walk on me? Now, the Bible says I got to turn the other cheek, but it didn't say keep on turning. I don't have but two. So now you done had your two chances. Now after them two, we going to have to go to business. Yes. Not talking to anybody in here. Yes. But how many of you know that there are times when the enemy will get you all riled up like that and you be ready to go back to your old ways and that small still voice just steps in. Say, hold up, you a child of the King. You can't handle it like you used to handle it. Woo, I thank God for the babies I just seen. Sometimes it's hard to love your enemy. But you know, I found out that when you know how to love your enemy, that's when you began to receive real power. When you learn how to realize that I'm not going to allow that thing that we got going on to hinder me from getting closer to my God. Because as long as I got a problem with you, as long as I won't forgive you, Daryl, then you have me as prisoner. And I need you to take these shackles off because I can't get where I need to go because we got some problems. Anybody know that there come a time you got to break down those walls? No. What is it going to take to break down those walls? One thing is you got to come up off your pride. When you're so proud that you're not able to say that I'm sorry, you're not able to say that I did something wrong, don't be too ashamed to admit that you've done something wrong. Everybody done something wrong. If it had not been for that, why would we need Jesus? We got to be honest enough to know that and admit our wrong and our shortcomings, confess and repent to God, trust in the resurrection of Jesus. And then we know that I can't be too ashamed. I can't be too proud to return and go back and admit my guilt. When we stand at the judgment seat of God, Don't need to think you're going to be liar. Because lies won't work that day. Won't be pointing no fingers at nobody. Because ain't nobody going to be there to point the fingers at. That's going to be you and God. So all of us that are using somebody else as a scapegoat as to why we can't get closer to God, stop. Lord Jesus, help my spirit this morning. All these crazy things coming up that can't come out. I wonder, where are the people that say this morning that I've done something dumb, done something crazy, and after the fact you were so ashamed that you had regrets and you came to a place that you realized that what I did it to myself. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that Jesus died for me and made it possible that I'm able to return back to the keeper of my soul. And every time in my life that I messed up, God has never closed the door on me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I made reference a week or so ago about that picture that we used to have of Jesus on the wall knocking on the door. But I want to let you know that the door of the Lord our God, it always stands ajar. All you got to do is walk in. But we stand at the door pondering and wondering and allowing the enemy to remind us of yesterday. We have allowed the naysayers to say that you don't have nothing. You allow the haters to say that what you got, you didn't get it the right way. But how many of you know that what God got for you, it is for you? How many of you know that no weapon formed against you, you'll be able to prosper? Because if you are a child of the King, am I talking to anybody in here? It's all right. It's all right to mess up, but get up. God will allow you to come back. Then you got to understand that he died and he went through some things just so that we might have a good life. Now, all of us have gotten a place where we've done our own thing. But now, way before Jesus came in the flesh, he was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah said, who have believed our report? And to whom of the arm of the Lord is revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He have no form of comeliness when we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. Then Isaiah said, he will be despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. The Bible declared that we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But now look at what the Lord did for all of us. Whether we are right, whether we're wrong, whether we're good, whether we're bad, whether we're believers or whether we're unbelievers, this is a fact that surely he had borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and he was afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, look at what verse 6 says. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. So in other words, the Bible is declaring, now that you're doing your own thing and you're turned away from the way that the Lord God wants you to go, then you got to understand that the Lord God was the one that laid upon himself the iniquity of all of us. And so when I think about the fact that I'm healed by his stripes, when I think about the fact that he was bruised for my iniquities, when I think about the fact that he had did no sin, then I got to understand that he is shepherd and keeper of my soul. But now look here what backs this up. Even here in 2, where he was called, Christ suffered for all of us. He suffered as an example, and he didn't find anything wrong in his mouth. When he was reviled, he didn't revile against nobody. He didn't allow anybody to get him out of his zone. He suffered. He threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Then the Bible declares, who? His own self. All by himself. He didn't need no John Willie Cade. He didn't need Darrell Walters. He didn't need Carlton Pittman or Deacon Alexander Carter. But he went to the cross all by himself. He didn't even need his mama Mary, because Mary had done her job getting him here. But the Lord God took things over and began to work things out in his life, because the God that I'm talking about came for a purpose. Now, the Bible declared that he bore all the sins in his own body, and they hung him on a tree. That we being dead in our sins. Hear me now? Dead in our sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us need to know that it is by the stripes of God that we are healed. All of us, as Isaiah prophesied a long time ago, say, for we were a sheep going astray. So we are just like the sheep of the children of Israel. We've all gone astray and we're doing everything that we want to do. But I want to know, is there anybody in the house? Anybody want to turn their life around? Anybody want to let go of your pride? Anybody know that self-righteousness won't get you inside the gate? Anybody realize that I got to turn my life around? I'm going to return and go to the shepherd. I'm going to return and go to the bishop of my soul. I realize that I am a child of the mighty King. And I just stopped by Fowl's Chapel this morning to ask you a question. What will it take for you to come to your senses? Well, I have a little story that I'd like to share with you this morning. It's a parable that Jesus gave about the prodigal son. He tell me that there was a man that had two sons. The youngest son came unto his father and said, Father, I'm getting ready to go. Oh, Daddy, I need my part of my inheritance, because I'm getting ready to get up out of here. I look at the word of God, and the Bible declares that the father said he began to divide his offering. He gave the old son everything that he needed. He gave the young son what was due him. The young son began to pack up his bag. If there anybody in the house that ever felt like that you were grown before you were grown, realize that I don't like the rules of the house, and I want my little change, and I'm going to go on about my business. Well, I want to tell somebody about this young man. This young man went out to a faraway country. The Bible declared that when he got in that country, he began to live riotous. In other words, he didn't do what his daddy told him to do. He forgot about what he learned in Sunday school. He forgot about the fact that God said you better take care of what you got. Anybody know that if you waste what you got when you need it, you're going to be in a bad situation. I see this young man having a good time. I'm in a city where don't nobody know me. My daddy can't tell me to come on back in the house. I'm my own man now. Look at my pockets. I got my own money now. And I'm going to set up the house tonight. Is there anybody in the house that like to have a drink on me tonight? I got money in my pocket, and I don't mind letting it go. Don't you know, when you get money free, you don't have the responsibility of looking out for it. There are folk that will waste everything that you give them. But I want to let you know, this young man, he wasted everything that his daddy gave him. He went out and did everything that he wanted to do. He hung out with everybody he wanted to hang out with. But the Bible declared that there came a famine in the land. Now, famine is when everything gets short. The rivers dry up, and there's no rain. There's no plants. Now, you got to understand that in that day and time, there wasn't any U-Haul trucks. There wasn't any train tracks. There wasn't nobody transporting food from one place to another. If it was dry and your wheat didn't grow, then you wouldn't have anything to eat. And don't you know that the worst of those, every time that things get bad, The poor folks suffer more than anybody else. But how many of you know that even in being poor, we learn how to look to the hills and know that our help comes from the Lord. We know how to take a 2-pound bag of beans and stretch it out and feed 10 or 8 children. Don't you know the Lord will make a way? But when there's a famine in the land and he can't find nothing to eat, the Bible says he couldn't even find a decent job. For the only job he could find was feeding the swine. The swine was unclean animals. And it was a nasty thing for a Jew to be around anything unclean. Don't you know when you get down and out, when you begin to hit rock bottom, you will get up off your high horse. There's some folk in here say, I don't eat bologna. But if you don't have nothing else and nobody bring you nothing else, that bologna tastes mighty good. I don't even have to have no bread. Just give me a piece of bologna meat. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You got to understand, don't forget where you come from. Because when you lose everything that you got and you find yourself hitting rock bottom, that's when you realize that there's a God somewhere. For this young man, when he realized, I don't have nothing, nobody won't give me anything, I can't find a decent job, I'm almost ready to eat the slop that the pigs are eating. But then he came to himself. In other words, he came to his senses. He realized, I don't have no business here. My daddy got food to spare. My daddy got servants walking on his land. And here I am about to die of hunger. I'm going to rise. I'm going to let my pride go. I'm going back to my father. I'm going to tell my daddy I sinned against heaven. I've been unruly to thee. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. You can make me a hired servant, but all I want you to do is just let me in. Anybody want to go back home? You better leave in a way that you can go back. Because sometimes you leave in a way that you cannot go back. But now go on in the story. Jesus said that when the young man got up, after he came to himself, he was on his way home. When he got to the top of the hill, his daddy was down at the bottom, looked up and saw his son. There was joy down in his heart. He got happy down on the inside and said, there's my child. It's time to celebrate. We're getting ready to have a celebration because my son, the one that was dead, I found that he is alive. He was lost, but now he's found. Anybody know what will it take for you to come to your senses? Do you have to go to the pig pen? Do you have to be struck with cancer? Do you have to be laid out on a bed of affliction? Do you have to be knocked upside the head? What will it take for you to come to your senses? Don't you know hunger pains will get your attention? Don't you know when you don't have health and strength, that will get your attention? When you've been used to looking out of your eyes and one day you can't see no more, that'll get your attention. So I'm so glad that I got eyes I can see, I got ears that I can hear, and the Lord my God has brought me a mighty long way. I'm so glad that I came to my senses. I realize I can't make it on this side without the Lord, so I extended my hand and I said, oh my God, take me in. It ain't anybody here. They want to be on the Lord's side. It ain't anybody that wants to say, I'm tired of being in the condition that I'm in. It's time for me to make a change. I'm going to return, go back to the Father. I'm going to confess my fault, and I'm going to let the Lord bless me. And I want all the onlookers to see what God has done. Don't hate me, because God loves me. Don't hate me, because God brought me out. Don't hate Judy, because she got pretty long hair. If you want hair, you can get it now. All you got to do is go to K-Wig, stop up there at that other place, and you get all the hair you want. But I want to let you know that that's not going to make you, and that will not break you. You better thank the Lord for what you got. And where the Lord God had brought you from, and where God had brought me from, I just want to tell him thank you. The question is, what will you do? And what will it take for you to come to your senses? When he came to himself, he said, I'm going to get up and I'm going back home. And I'm going to tell my daddy I done wrong and I know I'm not worthy. But dad, I need you. Somebody in here may be crying from within. And I want to let you know your dad is there. Your daddy's arms are wide open. And your daddy will do the same thing, because this is a representation of all of our Father. The one that sits high and the one that looks down low. He stands there with his arms extended. He said, I know where you've been. I know where you're going through. But I'll meet you where you are. And when I meet you where you are, all you got to do is just come on and go with me. If you come and go with me, I guarantee you there will be peace, there will be joy, and there is nothing that you have to be denied of, because I am the supplier of every one of your needs. When I thought and I looked at that, and when I realized that we can return and go to the shepherd who Peter declares is the bishop, the overseer of our souls. As he watches over our soul, if we get out of his will, all we got to do is cry out and ask the Lord and repent. You see, that's the thing, is that we got to let go of our pride and allow the Lord our God to do what only he can do. What will it take for you to come to your senses?